the Lord our righteousness. What does that mean? When God uses this phrase, the Lord our righteousness, what he's talking about is that one day his son, Jesus Christ, will come back and will sit on the throne, and that he will rule and reign in righteousness. And so when he talks about Jesus coming, being the King of righteousness, he's talking about that future day when he would sit on the throne.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness.
No, not one. No, not one. Think of all the good things that you can do, all the righteous acts that you have done. And, you know, we think about the fact that we just came out of Christmas, right? And many of us probably did a lot of righteous acts. But none of those righteous acts could make us right with God. Is there anyone that's right? The scripture says, no, not one, no, not one. And the sad thing is that the whole world stands guilty before God. That when we are put on trial and we stand before the judgment of God, we will see that the whole world will be guilty. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 says, now we know what things soever the law saith, it is said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. That anybody that says, I do this, I've done that, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world will be found guilty before God. That we don't even have an inkling of righteousness. And when we stand before the Lord, we will stand before him condemned. But I thank God for 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And it says this, God made him to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. What an exchange. What an exchange that Christ took our sin upon him and he gave us his righteousness. That, again, as we've already been talking about, there's nothing that we can do in our righteousness to satisfy God. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. And that when he died on the cross, that he took our filth, he took our sin, and he gave us his righteousness. This is what's known as imputation, that God imputed the righteousness of Christ unto us. Without that, we're lost. Without that, we can do nothing. That God looked down and he saw us sinking in the quicksand of sin. He pulled us up, set us on a solid rock. And not only did he do that, but he gave us the righteousness of Christ. And he took our filth upon himself. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross, all the things that we've ever done that were wrong, that he took those things, that he put them on his son. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Christ. What an exchange. What an exchange. That as he died on that cross, Jesus said, give me your sins. Give me your wickedness. Give me your iniquity. And he took it from us, and he took it upon himself. But thank God it didn't stop there. What did he do? He gave us his righteousness. And so when the scripture says, is there any righteous? No, not one. No, not one. We can say, not in the flesh, but in Jesus Christ, that we are righteous. Can you imagine if you had a bank account and your bank account was overdrawn? And I might be talking to some of y'all right now, right? I can see y'all laughing through the camera, right? That your bank account is overdrawn, and you have all type of late fees, and you have overdrawn penalties, and man, your checking account is just a mess, right? It's just a mess. And somebody comes along and they said, look, let me take all your debt. Let me take all the overdrawn fees, overdraft fees. Let me take all the bounce checks. Let me take all those things that you have that are in your bank account, and let me take them and let me pay for them. And not only am I going to pay for them, but now I'm going to deposit $1 million in your bank account. And let me tell you something about this $1 million. Woo, hallelujah. That this $1 million will never be exhausted. That it will always be in your account. Man, I tell you what, that's a sweet deal, isn't it? I would love a deal like that. When I got to say, you know, right now my bank account, there's no overdraft, no late, nothing. It's cool, right? But I'm just saying, I know in the past, right? I'm preaching to somebody, right? I know in the past how it's been, you know, to get those red flags on your statement, you know, with that $36 overdraft, right? And so just imagine somebody coming and taking care of all that, and then not only that, but depositing a huge amount of money that never runs out. You say, that's unheard of. That can't happen. But let me tell you that it happened on the cross. That God took all of our debt. He took all of our overdrafts of sin. He took all that, right? And then he deposited the righteousness of Christ into our account. So that when God looks at us now, God does not see the sin and degradation of the sinner. But what does God see? Woo! God sees the righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Christ, that you've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And I like that song, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But let me give you this part of the song, right? We probably sang this part of the song many a times, but listen to this. Listen to this. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What did the songwriter say that he or she would be dressed in? Not in these filthy rags of sin, not in this fleshly nature that we have. He said, I'll be dressed in what? The righteousness of Christ. See, let me tell you something. If you try to get into heaven, and you can take your best outfit, brothers, you can take your tuxedos with your bow tie and your nice shiny shoes. Ladies, you can pick that fanciest dress or outfit that you have and get your hair done up and get your makeup on, and you can be looking fine, right? And then you come to the gates of God. I mean, you just took a shower, you put on cologne, you put on perfume, you wearing your best, and you come to the gates of God, and God said, you can't get in here. But look, I got my best. I've done everything I could to present myself in the best way I could. Look at how I'm dressed. Look at how I smell. You can't get in here. And then somebody comes up behind you, and they got old tattered clothes, and they're wrinkled, and they're smelly. And somebody meets them at the gate, and they take the righteousness of Christ. They take the righteousness of Christ, and they wrap it around them. And God flings wide the gates of heaven and says, come on in. when he shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. You see, the songwriter had it right that if you stand before the throne in your righteousness or in your Sunday best, you're going to have a lot of faults. But if you will wrap yourself in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and what are we talking about? Yahweh said, the Lord our righteousness, God our righteousness, right? That's the name of God. Yahweh said, Kenu. If you wrap yourself in the righteousness of the Lord, that God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the gates of the Lord. And that's what we call imputed righteousness. And that's where God takes your sin, or let me back up and say, that's where Christ takes your sin on him and he gives you his righteousness. That's imputed righteousness. Now, there's also such a thing called practical righteousness. And let me read 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. You see, we do things every day. We do unrighteous things every day. Somebody say, well, no, I don't. I don't sin. Well, then 1 John said that you're a liar, because it says that if we say that we don't sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. So all of us, you know, we have a thought that maybe is not pleasing to God. We say something maybe that we shouldn't have said. We act in a certain way. So, you know, all of us, you know, let's be honest that we all have committed acts of unrighteousness. And so as we go through our day, we pick up these little acts of unrighteousness. And if we allow these, now again, let me say this, that in Christ we've been declared righteous. So from the standing before God, that we are righteous. But as we go through our day, we can do little things that cause us to become or pick up acts of unrighteousness, which now we've got unrighteousness on our daily account, not on our heavenly account, because God looks at us as righteous through Christ. But on our daily account, we can pick up these little things that cause us to be unrighteous. And that's why John said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And the what? The thought that we had, the word that we said, the deed that we did, he is faithful and just to cleanse us. Oh, hallelujah. From all unrighteousness. You know, when I think about Jesus, you know, I'm reminded of the, and I believe it was the whisk commercial. And I tried to find this out before I came today, but I believe it was the whisk commercial. And it basically said, we get stains out that others leave in. We get stains out that others leave in. And you might try during the day, you know, there's a certain religious group that thinks that they can do enough good deeds to work out their sin, to work out their stain. There's people that think that maybe if they get baptized or do this or do that, that they can work out their stains. But there's only one thing that's going to work out that daily stain, and that is confession and being washed in the blood of Jesus. You know, there was a that Wisk commercial, it had a slogan, ring around the collar. And it said, now, those dirty rings, you try soaking them out, you try scrubbing them out, but you still end up with ring around the collar. You can try to soak them out, you can try to scrub them out, you can try to steam them out, you can try to scream them out, but you still end up with ring around the collar. And it said that if you'll get whisk and you'll put that whisk in your collar and then you put it in the washing machine, that when you get it out, the ring around the collar was gone. And you remember those commercials and that it would be little kids, it would be adults, you know, and they would pull their shirt out, and what would they say? They would look and they'd say, "No more ring." Well, you know, praise God that when we confess our sin and we allow the blood of Jesus on that daily basis to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we can be put back in that right position again. So we have the imputed righteousness, and that is where God takes our sin and he gives us the righteousness of Christ. And then we have practical righteousness, and that is where we pick up dirt along the way, that we come to him in confession and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so, you know, we thank God for that. As I began to wind this message down, one day we're going to stand before Yahweh Tsidkenu, and we're going to receive a crown. He's going to give us a crown. We're going to stand before Jeremiah called him the God who is our righteousness. And we're going to stand before him, and we're going to receive a crown. Now, in the Bible, there are five crowns. And we see that there's the crown of righteousness, there's the crown of life, there's the crown of glory, there's the incorruptible crown, and there's the crown of rejoicing. Now, I don't have time to break down each one of those, but as a believer, there are, some people believe there's five, others might say, well, one crown might just be for the pastors, right? So whatever the case might be, that the Bible speaks of five crowns. And I don't know about you, when I get to heaven, I want my crown, right? I want to get my crown. But one of the crowns that it speaks about is the crown of righteousness. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. Oh, what we got? Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Notice that he says a crown. This word crown comes from the Greek word stephanos. And it was actually a wreath that when the Olympic contestants would compete in the Olympic races back in Paul's day, that whoever won, they would come before what was called the bema, or the judgment seat, where the judges would sit up on this platform, and the winners of the events would stand below them, and they would crown them with these laurel wreaths. And so Paul says that one day that we are going to stand before the righteous judge, and he's going to give us a crown. And as we think about this crown, and as we think about the challenges that come as far as us getting this crown, let me just share with you two things. How do you get this crown? When I stand before the Lord, when I stand before Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, the righteous judge, and he gives me this crown, how do I get it? Well, I believe there's two ways that you get this crown. One way is that you live right. You live righteously. What is the crown called? It's called the crown of righteousness. So in order for you to get a righteous crown, you got to live a righteous life. Now, we thank God that God already covered the first part, that when Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness, that he took care of that part. But now we got to take care of our part. And that is every day we got to seek to live a righteous life. You know, I like that song, God Is. Powerful song, powerful song. But there's a place in that song where it says, I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way. I've got to keep my life clean every day. I've got to keep my life clean every day. So even if I commit an act of unrighteousness, that it should be my goal not to commit an act of unrighteousness. It should be my goal every day when I get up to live a righteous life and not do anything unrighteous. But we know that that's not going to happen. And we thank God that when we slip and fall, that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every day we should desire to live a righteous life if we want to get this righteous crown when we come before Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord of righteousness. And then the second thing, it says here that as we look for this crown of righteousness, it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You want to get this righteous crown? It says that you ought to love his appearing, that you ought to desire the coming of the Lord. Oh, yeah, we know that we've been looking for him to come back since he left. He said he was coming back. But daily, I heard somebody say, when it comes to the coming of the Lord, are you yawning or are you yearning? Are you yawning or are you yearning? Are you just like, oh, ho, 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 you know, he's not coming back, you know, I'm just going to live my life however I want to live it? Or are you yearning? Are you saying, Lord, you could come back today, and I want my life to be right with you. Lord, I'm so forward, looking forward to your coming that I want to live right. And, you know, I tell people that when he comes back, he's going to take us with him. And it says that we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as we is. So there's going to be a great change one day, that you're going to change one day. And I said that it can either be two ways. You know, sometimes when you go to the barbershop, you don't need a whole haircut, right? You just need a touch-up, right? That's all you need is a touch-up. And when we see Christ and we become like him, are we just going to need, because we've been living a righteous life, are we just going to need a light touch-up? Or are we going to need a total makeover? Light touch-up or total makeover? Which one is going to be for you? Oh, I hope that I so desire to see the Lord that I want to be walking. I want to, as the song said, I want to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way. I want to keep my life clean every day so that when he comes back, it's just going to be a light touch over and it won't have to be a total transformation or a total makeover. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. When you leave this earth and you enter into heaven, as I said earlier, you're not going to be able to bring your finest clothes. You're not going to be able to put on your best perfume or cologne. You're not going to be able to drag all the things you've accumulated in this earth. That when you go into heaven, we're going to have to proclaim the words of the songwriter. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And that is where we hold on to Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We can't bring our own righteousness before the throne, but we have to be in his dressed in his righteousness alone.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This concludes our series on the Yahweh names of God. Join us next time for the start of a new series on the El names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teaching resources. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze. On behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.